Welcome to the Casual Fridays REI podcast, where you'll learn about the wildly profitable niche of land investing. Active land investors Adam Southey and Justin Sliva are here to share their experiences with you so that you can learn how to build massive cash flow and huge profits from this highly lucrative niche. So without further ado, here are your hosts, Adam Southey and Justin Sliva.
What's up, everybody? I'm Adam Southey, here with my co-host, Justin Sliva, and this is the Casual Fridays REI podcast. Today, we're talking about America for 4 cents. Before we do that, though, let's talk about the Plum Investment Group. Guys, do you have a property that you need funding for? Plum Investment Group is your solution. Plum helps land investors grow their business by funding your raw land purchase. It's truly an awesome deal, guys, and just to be clear, this isn't a loan. Plum will actually partner with you by putting up the money for your project. So do yourself a favor, go check out the website. It's www.pluminvestmentgroup.com.
Happy Wednesday.
Hey.
Man, I'm thinking about Topgolf and me smoking you this last weekend.
I think we both got smoked by a very unsuspecting person.
I think there was a glitch in the electronic scoring system there because she kept, like, I'd hit one and it's like, your next shot's double points. And then I'd hit it and her name would pull up on the thing. It says, congratulations. I'm like, it says my name right now.
Yeah. I think every loser has a reason why they lost.
No, the first game I won, I was well ahead of everybody.
Yeah.
The second one is when it started going a little haywire, and we were all three right at the top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, after about six mules, I was feeling pretty loose, and I noticed my shot got a whole lot straighter. I was like, man, that's all I need is about 5 to 10 drinks, and I'm a solid player.
Yeah, I can't remember how many I had. I didn't even look at my tab. I just signed it and went on the way. I did hit a hole in one, like a hit in the center one, and I look back at everybody. I'm like, just seen my hole in one, and y'all were so all focused in conversation. I was like, hole in one here, and nobody saw it. So
yeah, I don't remember that. I was like so focused in on the pretzels that night.
Those pretzel bites were good.
The pretzels were so good, man. I'm like wanting them right now.
but it did bring me back to when we did our live event back in the beginning of March, wasn't it? Like March 2nd, I think is when it was.
That sounds about right.
With the Texas Land Investors.
Yeah.
I think we need to do like a meetup or some kind of hangout networking event. And, you know, Topgolf makes it easy because they have the conference room, they have food, they have drinks, and they have an activity.
Yeah, I was thinking about that when we were there, just how much fun it would be to have just a time where we meet up with everyone, just kind of hang out. Not necessarily just, you know, spending all day with education, but just like come hang out with us.
Yep.
You know, we can get a bunch of bays and just everyone network and have fun.
Talk, build some deals. Yeah, I like the idea of that. And doesn't have to cost an arm and a leg to do that. We can put it together. We can sponsor a piece of it. And mm-hmm. Then everybody else handle their own stuff.
Yeah. So if anyone's interested in that, I guess that's where we're going here.
Yeah.
Let us know if you want to come play some Topgolf and have some food and some fun.
Yeah. I like that. I like that. Low key.
Yeah.
Low key. Casual.
Yeah.
Don't wear a suit or we will clown you.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know who would wear a suit.
Dude, there's always one.
Is there?
He shows up in a power suit to the networking event. He's got power suit, power business card, power attitude. This is casual.
I remember when our buddy JT showed up, it's like cold outside. I didn't even want to step outside without a jacket, and he's got shorts and sandals on.
But he lives that life, man. He's casual.
He is casual, yeah. I'm not hating on him.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm not hating on him at all, but I was cold.
Yeah, and he's just relaxed, just enjoying life. I love it. I love it. He's a great guy. Yep. Great guy. America at 4 cents.
Yeah. Yeah, well, after we were talking about that Beverly Hills deal on Monday, it was like, what other great deals are there?
Well, let me ask you this. I'll phrase it this way with you. What's the cheapest you've ever paid per acre for a piece of land?
Oh.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
Yeah, it's nothing like crazy. Maybe $100 an acre.
That's the cheapest you've ever paid?
I think so, yeah.
I think the cheapest I've paid is $15 an acre.
Really?
Yeah, on 20 acres.
Okay, we can't just leave there going.
Well, and
going
so more. I sent an offer out to a guy on a piece of property. He lived in California. I think the property was in Texas. And I think the offer was, memory serves me, like $2,200. And I look at it, and there's like $300 in back taxes on the property. And he goes, hey, man, I got your offer. I'd love to accept it. And I was like, hey, I've already bought too much property in this area. You got $300 in back taxes for me to take that on. I just can't do all of it. And he's like, why don't you just pay the back taxes and buy me dinner and you can have it. And so I said, okay. So I sent him $50 and paid the back taxes, and here we are. I got 20 acres out of the deal.
Nice. Yeah, I was about to say, that could make it expensive. You know, what does he consider dinner?
Yep. Maybe it was you. It'd be,
I want a steak.
I want Rue Chris. Give me some Del Frisco's.
You know, $50. $50 isn't really that bad. That's a good price.
I think that the back taxes amount was like $258 or something, odd number. So I'm kind of guesstimating $15 an acre. It might have been $15.75 an acre or something. But I ran across an article and it was talking about the Louisiana purchase. The United States purchased that in 1802 for 4 cents an acre. They bought it for $23 million.
Well, okay, so let's clarify some things here. We're not historians. We may miss some details in this
I'm trying to pretend I am, Adam. It was 530 million acres.
530 million acres.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I would like to own that much. I don't know that I would, though. I kind of do, kind of don't.
Well, if I could get it at 4 cents an acre.
I still couldn't afford it.
I could raise that money.
I bet I could get a loan. But, you know, it had some other stuff. And this came from a book. It was written in 1961 or 1971. It was a book called Making Money in Land. My father-in-law likes to clean out his study. He was an English major, but he's a DO. He's retired, and so now he's kind of cleaning it out. And any book it's about investing or stuff, I always seem to get it. Seemed like he did a lot of self-educating in the early 70s and late 60s on how to, like, no-load mutual funds and buying and selling rural land. So he gave me this book, and so I've been reading it just because watching one of the guys on Facebook, he's always posting up these old articles on land and area he buys, and I just love the history side of that. And that's what he said, oh, man, I just love knowing where I'm buying and the history I'm buying from. And so I started reading through this book, and I saw a couple other deals. California, Nevada, and Arizona were bought for 5 cents an acre.
Wow. 5 cents.
5 cents an acre.
And then there was a listing for $1 billion.
Yeah.
So
they bought it in 97 for $8 million, I think is the number we said. And then they sold it for $45 million. Then it got listed for $1 billion. But take just that piece of dirt there, and you go three states over, and you got it all for 5 cents.
Wow. It makes you wonder if there's going to be 100 years from now, people are going to go, they used to buy land for $10,000 an acre.
Yeah, they probably will. I remember when I could buy this land for $10,000 an acre.
Yeah, so it makes you really think. It's like, maybe I should just lock some of this in a trust or something.
Just forever.
Just let it ride.
Yeah, and I think that's the question that when you get to some of these like commercial bankers and institutional money, they say, don't do that. They say the way we're transactional, we buy it so cheap and then we turn around and sell it. The velocity of that is where our values add for land flippers. But there is a point where the appreciation of the dirt's going to happen. You know, it has to be the right type of dirt. You can't go buy, you know, a property in Pershing, Nevada and expect it to go just crazy on value.
Like, well, maybe over 100 years.
I guess.
Yeah, and do we really want to take advice from maybe some commercial banker who doesn't know anything about anything?
Yeah.
He's just somehow got the job. I don't want to take advice from anyone until I know what they got.
Well, he manages the...
You're talking about one person.
I'm talking about one person. Okay, you're generalized. Yeah.
Yeah.
This guy, I would take his advice because the money he manages for the house or the shop that he manages is like the sixth or seventh biggest landowner in the country.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. So I'll take his advice because he says it eats from their bottom line, but it's a wealth preservation thing for them. And so they can buy it and hold it, and their money's hidden there. I don't want to call it hidden, but the money's just kind of set there.
Well, I always think what I'm just saying, I always think about people who are like giving financial advice and investment advice. You never know what their income or their
back end.
Yeah, what they're like. And I remember reading an article about this woman who's a financial advisor. She's trying to tell everyone what they should do with their money. Mm-hmm. And secretly, she was $230,000 in debt. And so is that really someone you want to?
Yeah,
take advice from. But anyway,
that reminds me of this. I went into a bank and they had their wealth manager come meet with me because we were looking at rolling everything together. And so a wealth program in a bank, what they typically do is they say, okay, hey, we take all your assets, put it together, and then give you a line of credit against your own money. And that way they have your assets on their books. You're taking a line against it and you just pay it back and forth with whatever comes in. And I'm sitting there looking at this guy and he's talking, we're getting to know each other. And he's like, well, yeah, he started talking down to me a little bit. And I was like, man, how much does this guy make a year? What's your net worth? You know? And that was, it kind of pissed me off. And I was like, and I hate to say it that way, but I've met with several bankers like that. And I'm like, you're acting like you're superior to me, but you live in an apartment. And I'm not saying anything bad, but you shouldn't talk down to somebody in financial situations that maybe they're in a better financial situation than you are.
Well, you shouldn't talk down to anyone because, like, that whole neighbor next door thing, right? You never know. Mm-hmm. Your neighbor might have $10 million bucks, but they live in driving a 1975 Ford pickup or something.
Because they like the truck.
Yeah.
It's never let them down.
Yeah. But that's just the tough part for me is taking advice from someone when you don't really
know.
Yeah. They just got that job. Anyway, that kind of digressed from where we were.
Yeah.
So Louisiana purchased 4 cents.
Yep.
California, Nevada, Utah. Is that what you
said? No. Arizona.
5 cents.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't there another one that we found?
Alaska. 2 cents an acre.
Alaska. I like Alaska.
Think about how mineral rich Alaska is, though.
Yeah. 2 cents.
And you hear, I've been seeing some memes about Donald Trump saying he wants to buy Greenland. And so, I mean, it kind of makes you go back to history. You know, America was, their whole goal in the 1800s was to buy as much of this land as they could so we could own it outright. And then they started selling it. Then they taxed it, of course. And so that's just that's how our property's done. And I belong to like a grassroots group that's working on property taxes here in Texas because Texas has high property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a state income tax, but you know, the question we run into is how do you pay for the services that you need in the state without having a high state income tax? Could you put a VAT tax, a consumption tax, or something else in place? So
that group kills me, man. I know.
You know exactly what
I'm
talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. I just ignore.
Are you in it?
No, but I keep getting invites to it.
Oh, okay.
I was like, no, I don't want in this group. Well, join this group. No.
I went to one of the rallies.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Oh, man.
And, you know, for me, the question becomes is there overspending? Like, you see the things about financial literacy. If you can't manage $1,000, you can't manage a million.
Mm-hmm.
If you give some, and you hit the nail on the head earlier when you said, how do you trust somebody taking financial advice from somebody you don't know their financial situation? Same thing is, how do you trust somebody knows how to do spending? Mm-hmm. They're spending public money that's not theirs if they don't know how to spend their own money wisely.
Mm-hmm.
We just got a new school in the town I live in. It was $44 million was the cost of it originally. And one of the bus drivers I was talking to at the post office, she's like, yeah, they spent $60 million on this middle school. Wow. $60 million. It's on 49 or 89 acres.
Wow.
In a metropolitan area. It's probably valued at somewhere $12,000 to $15,000 an acre in this area.
Wow.
It just blows my mind.
Yeah. The problem is that the people who know how to spend your money and invest your money are too busy
doing their own
doing thing. It
yeah.
for a living or for themselves or for whatever to go run a
public servant. Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess we could go on for days about how messed up it all is, but
yeah. Yeah. That's the stuff that keeps me up at night.
Point is, just quit bothering me with your
Facebook ads, invites. Yeah. One other one that we saw, I saw in that book was, I think it was Massachusetts, was bought from the Indians for $24 in trinkets.
The whole state?
From the Indians, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. I don't know what to say about that one. I don't think I want to touch it. But
so what would you offer on like a Greenland, like if you were to buy it today?
I have no idea. I wouldn't even know where to start on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I often see those islands for sale. You ever wanted to buy your own island?
I see those ones. Is it the UAE where you can buy like the
have that tropical tree, like mm-hmm. the man-made ones.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm talking like down in the Caribbean. We saw one off the coast of Belize for sale. It had two houses or three houses on it. It was all self-sustained. And it was like $449,000.
Hmm. So, not bad.
No, I was like, live in my own place. Hmm. So the good thing about this is history has shown us you can buy land for cheap. It's going up in price. I'd be interested to hear what some of our listeners have had as their lowest price purchase they've ever done per acre.
Yeah, yeah. If you can beat Justin's $15.
Yeah, we'll give it $17 just to play in for the taxes and dinner.
Yeah, who's got the best deal out there? Give us a shout.
Yep.
And while you're giving us a shout, also, go to Facebook and Instagram and give us a like and a follow. And then go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, go to wherever else you're listening to us and like and review the show. We appreciate it. Have a strong Wednesday. We'll see you Friday.
Yes. Bye, guys.